up top, we're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top, we're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. The misery train continues and Atlanta's into April now at this stage. And I am delighted to be joined this week by Shane Mario Doles, is known to someone, maybe just Jamie Dolan, who is here today coaching Montpellier and up in Portadown doing a bit of work for themselves. So, Mario, first things first, how are you getting on and what's your latest in your sporting life?
Yeah, oh, good, Jordan. Thanks for having me on, mate. Yeah, just very busy, very busy. So, obviously, managing Montpellier, a great club based down at Grange Garman, and the Leinster Senior League's gone really, really well. We're in a great position in the league and a cup semi-final to look forward to. And then I'm also a head of recruitment and scouting for the Republic of Ireland for Portadown, a big club in the Northern Irish Premiership. So busy at the moment, kind of going through profiles for the summer transfer window. So, yes, very, very busy, mate. Very, very busy.
Yeah, do appreciate your time. And, of course, we did have you on before. And I suppose we did have a couple of balls for last week. You are a Bulls fan yourself, but I suppose we'll get you on sort of talk from more of a footballing point of view. I know you had a couple of last week, it was just three angry fans shouting fucking abuse and death. So I suppose get someone on with a little bit more sort of football tactic, fucking just a viewpoint to a bit more sort of clarity around it than anything else. Unfortunately, we're going to have to start off where we finished, which was another loss on the cards of Bohemians FC, 5th defeat in 7 games. 7 games, no second half goal this season as of yet. Several games where you've gone without scoring. Reynolds now to the win rate of about 24-25% overall, which is really, really fucking grim. No home winning in 50 weeks, or one home win in 50 weeks in Dane Mount Park in the league. And Monday morning, he's still in the job. A lot of people don't know how, but suppose we'll get to the game first and foremost on Friday in Galway, a home to Galway. I suppose I said last week on the podcast, Mario, that everything seemed to be fairly played out wide in layman terms, just cross into the box. And again, we're just susceptible to handing up the easiest goal in the world, which sort of you probably broke it down a little bit and said, yeah, that seems to be the way it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought we started the game really well. I thought we were on the front foot. We were moving the ball really well. I thought we looked dangerous. I actually thought we played quite well, to be fair, up until the goal, which was a bit of a sucker punch. It came a little bit against the run of play, if we're honest. The goal itself, I think, is very preventable. In terms of the ball out to Cunningham, I think if truth be told, when you're breaking that down, you'd like the fullback to get out and try and stop the cross or at least close the angle a little bit more. I think you kind of hesitated watching it back, even watching it yourself. You kind of hesitated, and by doing that, he gave Bobby Burns a good opportunity and space to whip a brilliant ball into the box, and then Dyer's really attacked it well, and that's what Galway do. It's them in a nutshell. It's a John Caulfield team. They're solid. They're regimented. They know exactly. Everybody knows exactly what they need to do. They're rolling inside out. And then they're obviously a big, strong physical side. And I thought you attacked it really well. But a really preventable goal, I think, for ourselves and completely against the run of play.
Yeah. And then I think you were probably having a little bit of a look on your little scout network you have. I suppose what you've seen from Bowles, you know, not just Friday, but this season, I think a lot of us are struggling to see what exactly we're trying to do in terms of week to week. You know, I think we can see what he might try want to do, but you know, just losing all fancy is red, really.
Yeah, look, it's a really tough time. First and foremost, I'm a fan of the club. I love the club, as you know, and going since I'm a child. My mum and dad, my own members, we love the place. So it's hard to see us in a vein of form, but that we're in, and especially at home, you touched on it. We've had one win since April last year in Dalymount. And you can see, as I said, we started the game really well. We moved the ball really well. We created a couple of chances, but I think some of the players kind of have to take a little bit of responsibility as well. And I'm sure they are themselves. They're hurting, you know, from a player side of things. And obviously being in a dugout or in a dressing room with Porter Down, and where there's a lot of expectation this season as well, I can kind of understand from the other side and how it can affect confidence levels. I thought we looked devoid of confidence at times. After the goal went in, I thought we were on the front foot for the first half. We were playing really well through the lines, really confident passing of the ball. As you said, we were getting at the wide areas, and I think I counted the first three corners in the first 8 minutes and three crosses from wide areas we didn't beat the first man from, which are really good opportunities to get balls into the box where we've bodies attacking the box. And then you look at the flip side then, 15 minutes in, goal, we get the first opportunity to deliver a great ball in, one bit of quality, and it's a brilliant goal. And straight away, the nerves set in amongst the players again. And it just seemed then, until probably around the half, and you know, when the ball was going to the midfielder up in the final third, just that lack of cutting edge, that lack of a bit of quality that you need, especially against playing the likes of Galway. The first goal is huge, you know. Like we know this, we know, like from watching John Coughlin's team over the years, if they get something to hang on to, they defend with their lives, they put bodies on the line, they get their banks of four behind the ball, or five on Friday and four in front. They're really hard to break down. I would have liked to probably see a little bit more movement across the front four, a little bit more patience in the build-up, a little bit more movement in the front four, which creates those gaps and toward man runs to try and open Galway up. But the truth be told, when we got, I thought it was really good up until the final third, and then when we got to the final third, we were just short on a bit of quality, which has been the case a couple of times already this season. When you look at last season, the amount of times we left Dalymount, where we're going, if only we had a striker, if only we had a goal scorer, you know, I think we would have been in a far better position. Everything was good and solid and creative up until the final third, and just lacking that killer instinct. And I think the fact that, you know, with five goals this season, it says it up. Colin Whelan has three of them. It says it already, you know.
Yeah, I suppose, as you said, you know, last year everyone was like, oh, wait till he gets a striker, wait till he gets a striker. Did go in for Alex Greaves, who turned out not to be a striker, not much of a footballer, truth be told. And then he gets in Whelan, he gets in the Moose. We all know there's a bit of patience to be involved with the Moose. We're hoping Whelan get fit. I know he got injured pre-season, got the three goals, albeit two penalties, but... You know, last year we were just talking about creating chances to get the striker. We now have the striker and still not bearing fruits on the pitch. So even in terms of chance creation, I know you said we should have scored, but we still don't think was there really any... I know Whelan had one in the second half where it was a bit of a half-turn and he just put a word at the post and he should have scored. But other than that, we weren't really knocking on the door in terms of, you know, everyone head and hands that should have went in. Other than that, I know we think we 38. Was it what was the 28 shots in the match or something like that?
31 shots and only 4 on target.
4 on target, which will tell you the quality of we're getting in the final third.
Yeah, I think it's important as well. Like I know you mentioned patience with the Moose, but Colin Whelan's had a third of time the last two and a half years with his knees and different long term injuries, and I think like he hasn't even probably got to a full speed yet either. I watched him a lot when he was at UCD and he was a frightening talent and there's a player in there, but he just needs, as you said, he needs a run of games. Well, I don't think he's up to 100% either. So, as you said there, we have a striker in Moussa that if he's anyway 60, 70% fit, maybe more than that, I suppose, in this league, you can't get away with not being at your sharpest or at your fittest. The standard's going up all the time. And then Colin Whelan as well, he just needs, I think, maybe... this run of games to try and get himself absolutely firing, but he also needs a hand as well. And we need to get better service to him and better support. He looked quite isolated at times on Friday and in games and previously at Pats, I thought as well, in particular, like we were trying to find him as an out ball and he was doing his best to hold it up. I remember as a striker myself, you say if a striker has to take 3, 4, and 5 touches, that means that you need to be closer to him. You should be coming into him, holding it up, setting and spinning. And yeah, I think we need to get a little bit more support to the front men. And I suppose Dale Rooney probably hasn't been at his best this season compared to last year. He was an assist machine. And, you know, it's just all points that it's a squad, a group that's, I've no doubt, working exceptionally hard, but just a bit devoid of confidence and belief at the moment. And I think the performance suggests that, like, you know.
What do you think is our game plan? I know we said a lot of balls wide into the box and, you know, I think sometimes it looks like we're trying to pass it into the net. And I remember I was watching Benitez was on the overlap not too long ago and he was like if you look at any goal that's ever scored in any league, the average amount of passes to get the ball in the net is only 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Where we seem to have the ball in the halfway line, knocking it around sort of that direction aimlessly at some points during the game.
Yeah, so that's just like kind of having a bit of patience in the build-up, and then what you're relying on is obviously to be in control possession, and you're keeping the ball. You're relying on that front four to move and pull people and out of places that they don't want to go, drag centre-halves in with you to create space for someone to run in behind. I just thought we were very flat in terms of the front four on Friday in particular, and in the games gone past. In terms of the style of play, like we spoke with Devine when we had Declan Devine, and there was no sort of identity. There was, you know, according to the most fans and players watching, there was no real sense of you didn't know what you're going to get turning up. It seemed to be quite direct, long balls, playoff seconds, and see what happens, and very much off the cuff. Whereas now with Reynolds, what kind of fans are criticizing, it looks like we're overplaying or we're trying to keep it too much. So it's finding that right balance. That balance in between, the kind of knowing when to penetrate runs and a bit of movement, as he said, in that front four. Because playing out, I thought we were decent. Playing at the midfield was excellent. And I lost count how many times you can see the midfielders running with the ball or trying to drive forward, and they're looking up and they're not seeing any options. So the option then is to go wide and try and get something on an overlap and get balls into the box. But like, we looked at the stats as well. We 39 crosses on Friday night as well, and I could probably say 30 of them didn't beat the first man, if truth be told. So, you know, that is kind of, we need to do better once we do get into those wide areas.
But there's also an element of, you know, 39 crosses. I don't know how many Dale Rooney hit the first man, and it's been like this for a couple of weeks. Like, how, I suppose, look, the blame falls at the manager's foot, regardless, and the lands on his desk. But how much of this is coachable, that, like, you know, players just aren't able to get the ball into the fucking box?
Well, like, you know, I struggle to believe that Bohemians aren't training and aren't doing crossing and finishing or aren't working on set pieces and things like that. Of course they are, or that they absolutely are. But when it goes out on a Friday night, it's up to the players then to kind of step up as well. And as you said there, like, 39 crosses on Friday night, and I'd say we're probably in single digits of them anywhere. Decent, really good balls into the box and at the right times. And what I mean by at the right times is what seemed to be at times when we look at the goal, that goal we scored on, or the first goal we scored, it's literally out, it's a touch and it's delivered. So it doesn't give our defenders time to settle, time to land, to know where they are, to mark them, to pick them up, make it hard for themselves. But as you said, when you play against the likes of Galway, who play deeper and they sit in and they're allowing you to kind of have the ball in front of you, that's grand. You're not going to come through as you can go around us, all right? And they kind of force you out. They stay nice and compact and narrow, so there's no gaps in between them to go forward. You have to go out wide and try and push and pull them apart. But even then, when they dig it into the wide areas, I thought it was slow. It was 1, 2, 3 touches, then deliver. But by that stage, you know how big and strong that Galway team are. They're already set. They're already marking. They're already waiting to stand and head the ball clear. And it's a mismatch in terms of height and physicality. But yeah, that's pretty much where I've seen it. And you're dead right in terms of the quality has to be better in the final third. It just does. It's not helped, I suppose, you know, the amount of kind of changes in the team every week, you know, for being able to build relationships and understanding. There was quite a lot of signings in the summer, which we were all very excited about. It's a very, very, it's a stronger squad as we've probably had on paper. It's now about getting them to gel, and they can only gel by playing with each other. And each and every one of them seems to have picked up some sort of niggle or knock as the games have gone on, and the managers have to rotate. And the other side of it is, when you're not winning football matches, you do rotate and you do change, because lads aren't taking their chances when they've been given them. It's as simple as that, you know, in football. If you always hear the saying, you don't change a winning team, but we're not winning. And the people that have been brought in aren't taking their opportunities, and it's as simple as that, really.
Yeah, I suppose the worrying thing is, it's just not that we're not winning. We're not even drawing games, or even looking like we're drawing games. Like, that 5 defeats in 7 games, you won't win a league with 5 defeats. So we can scratch that off immediately if we got any preseason giddiness, as well and truly gone. But in terms of, like, Europe, look. In the league, you're still Bowes win the next three games in a row, highly unlikely, I think, at the moment. You're probably going to be third or fourth in the league, just the way the league is and how competitive everything is, and people are dropping points. Suppose then we'll touch just our defensive team. Where do you think it is going wrong at the back?
I just thought, well, if we're talking about Friday in particular, desire, and a real desire and a real hunger from Galway, and a little bit of hesitation and nervousness from ourselves. I think you can see that in the first goal. I think Liam Smith, the ball goes out wide, and he goes to go out to close him, and then he stops and he hesitates, and by that stage it's too late. The ball's whipped around him, and then you look at the desire. I think there's three or four Galway players driving into the box, all trying to get on the end of the cross. The second goal as well, we've looked at. It's just a long ball. It's a long ball. Flores is blocking Hickey to stop him getting a run on Rob Cornwell or win the header, compete for the header. And Rob's kind of hesitated, let the ball bounce, which, look, you're told as a schoolboy, and he'll know himself that he shouldn't let the ball bounce there. But the main thing is, if you look at that close-up video that's gone viral, you can see the determination and the desire and dire to get there before them and get on the end of it. And I think when things aren't going your way and you're having a bad run of form and confidence is low, like, you feel like everything's going against you, you're nervous, you're hesitant, the crowd is tense, the atmosphere is tense. And I just think, just the hesitation killed us in both goals on Friday night. And I firmly believe it's down to just, you know, that bit of confidence and lack of confidence, should I say, and a bit of nervousness setting in. And
Yeah, I suppose I guess a bit of a take of Alan, what's your thoughts of this management team, Alan Reynolds, at this current time?
It's tough. It's really tough. And like I struggled. Like, Alan Reynolds didn't take the Bohemians job to fail. You know, anyone I've ever spoken to in football can't speak high enough of the man. And Steve O'Donnell as well as a coach. So, like, the management team, as we spoke about already as well, like, when Keith Long was sacked, he was our number one choice according to reports and papers, and he was approached and it wasn't the right time in his life. So when we obviously brought in Declan Devine, and then he's gone, and then straight away we're back to Reynolds. We've obviously wanted him. He was the key target, and key target for a reason. You know, he'll be the first to admit that the results, I don't know the man, I've never met him in any way, but I'm sure he'll be the first to admit that it's a results business and the results haven't been good enough. We can talk about the performances being okay and chances, half chances, as you said. There was no real clear-cut chances in the game on Friday against Pats. No real clear-cut chances in the game, which is a worry. But again, as you said, and as we've said, it is a results business. And I don't know where we go from here. I don't know if sacking him is the answer. I don't know who do you bring in to replace him, which is the bigger question. If you were thinking that way, there's not an abundance of huge managers there that know the league inside out that are going to come in and steady a ship. And as you said, if you were to just look at that game on Friday night, if you look at stats alone, and it was 72.5% possession, 31 shots, but only 4 on target, 39 crosses, probably 31 of them don't beat the first man. So we're doing really well in games. It's just that cutting edge, that the final piece, the last third. And when your luck is down in football, everything goes against you. You know, like, I think Colin Whelan puts one just past the post 2 minutes before they score that wonder goal on Friday. And it's those fine margins at this level that can cost you, you know.
Yeah, I suppose you said it there. Where do we go from here? And I think that's a question on everyone's mind the last couple of weeks, particularly mine. But I did open the podcast with some questioning this week, and I think a lot of repetitive questions. Everyone asking if he goes, who do you get in, and you know, who can you get in? I heard a few people saying, "Oh well, you know, who else is out there? Who do you want?" Ultimately, from a personal point of view, I think Reynolds has nearly had one foot out the door since that Kerry draw in the Cup. Possibly from them, if not at least from the off-season, this was being stared down the barrel. Every fan knew there was a genuine possibility after 4 or 5 games, the knives are out and people are looking for heads on the fucking plate. Now, it would be extremely concerning to me, from a fan point of view who knows nothing about football, but the director of football has not got a shortlist of 10 to 15 names that's been constantly rotating, the who's available in order, the who you want to approach and who you can approach. since then. So if there's not a sort of a list there where we're ready to go and hit the button, then I'd be very, very concerned about, the football side of things at this club.
Yeah, you're absolutely. You always have to be one step ahead, and you always have to be planning. Like, I think Friday is obviously a must-win game, right? It's a non-negotiable. We need 3 points, and I'm looking forward to getting to the game. It's the first Friday I'll be free to go down and actually watch and not catch up on the telly. So I'm really looking forward to going and actually seeing the game, and I just hope that we can get behind the players. And try and get a result. It's so important already. Like, it's been nowhere near expectations. It was a huge expectation from the fan base based off the signings that were made, and rightly so. And then after the Aviva, at the Aviva, I thought we showed a real hunger, a real desire, a real will to win, and wanted to grind out the result and grind out that win. And look, we rode our luck. You look at it on the day, even in the Aviva against Rovers, and Michael Noonan has that shot hits off the back of, I think it was Dylan Watts's, that's going into the bottom corner, and that changes it to a one-all draw, one-all with 15 minutes to go. So we got a bit of luck that day. But I just, like you said, just especially in Inchicore was the game for me where I was kind of like, right, I was a little bit worried in terms of, I thought we were really passive, and we went from 1-0 to 3 very quickly. And that for me was kind of, you could see the dejection in the players, but we were just outworked and we were outfought, we were outran, and those things are kind of in the players themselves. It's like, the manager can talk tactics and he can put a formation and a team out on the pitch, but without that hunger and desire and determination that we spoke about for both goals on Friday, and it's evident, it's really evident in the goals, as you said. You look at the defensive side of Bohemians, there's a massive hesitation that allows them to get in, but there's a real desire from Galway to attack the ball. And the same when we put those crosses, and the ones that did make it into the box, they were throwing their bodies on the line, their heads on the line, they were working their arses off up and down the pitch. And that's been lacking a bit as well. And that's the part for me that where I say ultimately the manager, the buck stops with the manager, but players have to take a responsibility as well. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you weren't there yourself on Friday, but it's the first time I think Block A stayed to the very last minute. And there was actually people coming out of the bars to let the manager know their feelings. Suppose when I know there's only one way to turn it around, so no one can see it possible, but is there any way back for Reynolds in terms of when the whole stand is chanting, they want you out?
I think in all the years of going to Bohemians games, I don't think, as a fan, I've ever heard that. I've seen the videos that were sent to me in WhatsApp groups and everything else after the game. It's horrible. It's a horrible, horrible way that the club has gone, or the toxic kind of atmosphere at the moment. But fans pay their hard-earned money to go and watch the game every single Friday, and they pack out Daily Mount religiously. There's queues everywhere, people rushing for tickets all over, and 1 win in nearly 12 months is really not good enough. And I don't think we're being overly critical in saying that it's absolutely not good enough for a club the size of Bohemians with the support. It'll be very hard, very, very hard. And no doubt, like, Alan Reynolds, everyone involved at the club now and that's still there in terms of staff and players are all really hurting at the moment, like, nobody didn't take the Bolsh job to fail.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
You know, and I've no doubt about that. But it's been a while. I don't think. Do you remember ever seeing that like that before? With the
definitely not in the. And I've been going probably since 2010, 2011. So there's nothing in that time frame. I know the Gareth Farley. You always get told about the Gareth Farley one.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah,
you get that one. Maybe Sean Connor too. I'm not. I know that didn't go as planned. But another Gareth Farley one was a fairly grim and toxic. And people are saying this is probably worse.
Yeah, I think it is. Like, watching the game back, as soon as Dyer scored that second goal, it's an absolute wonder strike. But it's preventable. But straight away, you can hear the sections of the crowd singing, "We want Reynolds out," and it's sad to see. And people can, as you said, they are absolutely entitled to their opinion, and they deserve to have their voices heard. But it's more, I'm thinking purely as a player on the pitch. And listening to the 30 minutes left in that game on Friday night, and we were in the ascendancy, we were all over them, and then one long ball again, and we don't defend it well enough, and they score, and straight away the game is turned on its head, And it certainly, I just seen it after the first goal, what I noticed in the performance, which suggests obviously confidence is on the floor, never mind that obviously the five and defeats, is when it went into good areas and we were playing it to Rossi's feet or we were playing it to into the front man, every touch was backwards and back towards the defender or out wide, like you mentioned. And why that would happen is because it's the safest option. Do you know what I mean? It's harder to get it on the half torn and try and make something happen when your confidence is on the ground. You're like, I'm not getting a backlash. Get it, give it. It's in your head. It's programmed. You're a little bit hesitant. You're a little bit apprehensive to make a mistake, and everybody's nerves rise and it creeps into the players. And as you said, the players are going to be hurting. There's no one. I don't think you can be critical of that. It's not for the lack of trying, but the couple of times like you're watching the games and you think you've said it quite a bit as well on previous podcasts. You want to see a team that's willing to leave everything out there and put their bodies on the line for the club and the badge. And I think more times than not, we've seen that's not the case with some players. So
yeah, I did. That's one thing I said last week. I said I would have taken a 1-1 draw if we got a goal in the 70th minute to equalise. The last 20 minutes, we just huffed and puffed. Fair enough, granted, we don't get that winner. But if I had a saying that where we got that goal and we huffed and puffed for the last 20 minutes, there's an element where, I would have taken that because it would have shown something. They left something out on the pitch. Now, it did look that way for about 50 minutes, but once the second goal went in, it was really current in terms of, wouldn't say total effort, but you just see that there was the conviction in the play was completely gone.
Yeah. It was just a void of all confidence, all ideas. It hasn't been good enough, as you said, and I don't know how long you give it. Devine got, I think, 5 games, didn't he? Last year, or 6 games.
If even, yeah.
But the problem is then, as you said, people were overly critical of the director of football and the club last year in terms of, and Devine's after the cup final, the recruitment that was done, and then this summer we've recruited really well. Everybody's been delighted with the recruitment, and still it hasn't clicked on the pitch or gelled. So, whoever you bring in straight away, the squad's not his players. So he'd have to try and get a tune out of them if that was the case. And are you writing off another season, or do you give the manager time to try and turn it around? And I suppose, as we keep saying, one win since last April, it's, the win percentages and the amount of games ultimately, as you, I think you touched on it yourself earlier, and we all know that you have to try and find, we all have a style of play, even me as a young manager, you all have a way you want to play and an identity and you're trying to force that, but ultimately it's about winning football matches and horses for courses, and at certain points in the game you literally need to just do whatever it takes to get a result. You have to change, you have to go gung-ho, you might have to reshuffled, you might have to play square pegs around holes, but you do whatever it takes to try and get over the line and get wins, and we don't seem to be doing that or even looking like it. And if truth be told, down in Waterford, I thought that could have went either way. On the night our luck went that way, I thought in Cork we were very good as well.
First half thought we were good in Cork, second half didn't come out again,
and that's the same players that turned it on in the first half and don't come out in the second. So ultimately, as we keep touching on, the book stops with the manager. He'll take responsibility, and he has done. But it's a real head-scratcher at the moment, because on paper, the squad is brilliant. Like, you look, thought Graham settled in really well.
Experience, you have to take him, Sligo's captain, Dundalk's captain.
Yeah, like Morahan, he's been very good at what he's doing. I thought James McManus, actually mentioned to him, I thought he was very good on Friday night, for someone who hasn't played too much football. Dawson Devoy tried to get on it as much as possible. Dale Rooney obviously hasn't hit the heights. Parsons has showed glimpses, flickers in and out. But even if you look at the winning goal in Cork, it goes and from Parsons attacking the left corner of the pitch near their flag, ball breaks down, and as you mentioned, 3 or 4 passes, and they've scored the second goal. You just need to start trying to find ways to just get results and get them quickly.
Yeah, I suppose he's not dead and buried as such of yet, but I don't think there's too much credit left in the bank. I've no idea what the club's thought process is now. Did he want to just hope he pulls out a couple of results and keeps us tidied on? I know his contract is up at the end of the season. Does Nedham can we afford? I think we can afford to sack him. Do we want to spend that money that we have on sacking him? Do you sack O'Donnell with him? Just take you let him go to let O'Donnell have it, or do you let Detzer and Crawley take it? I know a lot of people saying should Detzer go too? Like there's a lot of variables, a lot of multiples, but at the same time, this probably should have been a plan since pre-season what was going to happen.
Yeah, and you'd like to think that is the case, and I'm sure Pat Fennin has a plan in place or has a backup plan on the board to do, because you can't be naive to think that everyone's going to be rosy in the garden. If you stand still, you're left behind type thing, you know, because you absolutely can't. You have to always be thinking worst case scenario. I know that myself. But realistically, I think, obviously the budget, you know, there's been working in recruitment myself with players and north and south of the border, you can see the inflation of wages and some of the budgets that some of the clubs have. We're not at that level, and that's fact. You know, we're also going to be facing maybe a couple of years out of Daly Mount. We don't know. I don't think we know where we're going yet, do we, in terms of...
No,
So that's another thing that the club are probably trying to factor in for in a couple of years. As you said there, do we have the money? I'm sure we have the money, but it's trying to be savvy and clever with it as well, you know, in terms of we don't know where we're going to be playing our football. Will we be able to sell 4,000 or 5,000 tickets every week? Is there going to be the extra cost? You're obviously going to have to rent somewhere. So there's loads of different factors that will come in, obviously, in terms of long term. In the short term, as you said, if we don't start winning football matches, I never liked calling for managers to be sacked. Maybe Eric Ten Hag, but not here domestically. It's not a nice thing.
I said last week, I don't talk in. I've never been online saying this fella has to go. Enough is enough. But it was long the void. I don't like saying it. As I said, you know yourself, it's a fucking small employment pill in the league. You know, you think if O'Donnell does get sacked, I know there's no loyalty when it comes to winning matches. You have to fucking win them. But like O'Donnell, that be able with another couple of jobs, who gives him the roll of a dice for another gig? Reynolds, I know he'd probably walk back into a number two somewhere. But,
well, I think the one thing for me, like Bohemians aside, I think if you are replacing the manager, I never understood, like being a player as well, and having been in a dressing room where this has happened, and I never understood why you would replace the manager and leave the staff. Because, in my opinion, it kind of defeats the purpose, and that happened previously at the club. Now, that's just my opinion as a player, because I think the whole idea of replacing the manager is to bring in an entire fresh approach to training, a breath of fresh air, everything's restarted, you have a blank, clean slate for everybody involved. But if you're replacing the manager, that might have different ideas, but the coach and staff, and this isn't against Detzer or Stevie or anyone, this isn't football in general. Obviously, you want a different approach, maybe a different approach to train and different sessions that get put on, and a real freshness if you are going that route. If you are going that route, then I think there's no point in just, like, getting rid of the manager and leaving everybody else behind—it just defeats the purpose.
What do you think in terms of what it is at the moment in regards to the ideas of the manager? I know we people saying we have two managers, but do you think there's an element of O'Donnell sitting there in his bucket during the match and thinking, "I'd be playing a completely different game here"? I don't know what is that. I'd love a shot at this. Do you think there's an element of that?
Oh, I'm sure Stevie O'Donnell is an ambitious manager himself, and I'm sure he wants to get back in as a number one somewhere soon. But, you know, I'd be very surprised if Alan Reynolds didn't bring him in because he knows and trusts him well, and he knows what he's about, and they're on the same page. The same with young Fogarty, the goalkeeping coach, with Detzer. They're all on the same page. They're all trying to do the right thing. They're all pulling in the same direction. You'd like to think so. And again, it's like everything you read online. It's very hard for us to comment on it because we're not there day in, day out. We're not on the training pitch. We're not in the training ground. We're not with the players. It's just a tough one. I'm sure Stevie would love, obviously, who wouldn't love the Bohemian job? I'm sure if the manager was sacked in the morning, I'd like to think you'd be inundated with applications. It's such a huge club with the new stadium and the fan base and all we do off the pitch and on it as well. And I think just Yeah, I just I'm as mind boggled as you, to be honest. I was really, really hopeful at the start of the season, and you're always thinking when you make so many bit of signings like that, and it's how quickly they can gel and integrate into the group and get familiar with the league, and it's a demanding play stadium as well. The fans have big expectations, and when they're not being met, obviously you hear what happens on Friday night. But yeah, I'd like to think Steve O'Donnell is firmly behind Alan Reynolds and vice versa, and they're all working together rather than against each other, you know.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, I said I opened the questions for the first time, but there's genuinely about in between Twitter and Instagram, there's about 100 messages that I didn't think it'd be that big. But I suppose a lot of them are just sort of Reynolds, if he does go, who do you get in? I suppose, Mary, what is your actual thinking on Reynolds now? I know you're probably a bit more lenient in terms of employment and giving the manager a bit of time as one yourself, but what is your thinking at this time?
The thinking is, like, if it doesn't change quickly, we're in big trouble. And I know you mentioned there, can we afford to sack a manager? But we can't afford to get relegated more so. And I don't think we will. I don't think we will in any way. But I don't think anybody expected Drogheda to have the start they've had. Cork have obviously held their own. Galway are just very good at what they do. Obviously, Derry have invested significantly. Rovers have obviously invested significantly. Shelbourne as well. So, you can very quickly find yourself, as we are at the moment, looking at the wrong
Bottom of the
end of the
scale.
table. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a results business. I hate to keep saying it. It is. And you're right. I don't like calling for money. I've been in the situation. I'm working in a Northern Irish Premiership club at the moment where there's big expectations, a big demanding fan base. And I could see why I'm in the manager's office for every game. I'm in the dressing room most games. So I see when things aren't going well, how it affects people, and maybe it's not the kind of soundbite people want, or they want me to come on and call for Reynolds to be gone and this, that, and the other. But I think everybody knows, and Steve Wunder can see it's a results business, and if we're not getting the results, things need to change. And Alan's not naive to that either, he'll know that himself. But it's just it just looks like I don't know where we go. I think after Friday, I'm looking forward to going to the game on Friday. I really hope the fans get behind them. I know it's easier said than done, but get behind the players, if not the manager, get behind the players and try and be. So many times we've been there, Jordan, I've been there with you, and we've been the 12th man and getting teams over the line against all odds, and really driving the team forward and giving them that extra push when you need it. And to be fair, even ourselves in Portadown this year, we've been selling out most home games, and we've punched well above our weight, but we've scored, I think, the most amount of late goals and games in the league against your Lairns and Linfields and the big boys. And a large part of that is the fans have gotten right behind us and pushed on. And it's hard to say that when, as you said, it's really hard for me to say that. And you've won one in 12 months. There's no excuses, but I really hope, because of how important this game is already in the season, that we can get behind them and we they can pay back with a big performance and the 3 points. But I just think it's gonna click, and if it clicks in the final third, like, if we look at it and we keep going over it, I thought in games we've looked okay and good at moving the ball and confident on the ball, and it's just the final third, and then lapses of concentration at the back. And yeah, I
Yeah.
think one of the biggest things for me that I've is that will concern me is the amount of changes in the team every week. And I touched on that earlier on the call. It's just lads can't
Not
settle
just
in.
it's not just a change of a back four of a change of midfield. It's like a change of that bank of four, it's a change of the holding two, the change of the three in front of the two, and then Whelan's probably the only consistent at the minute.
Yeah, I think Moran as well is probably the only other one that's played
But he's
every
not
game.
even playing in the same line of midfield or
Exactly,
defence.
exactly. So he's I think he's the only player that's played, bar James, or the only outfield player I think that's played every game so far this season, or one of few anyway. But he's played two in centre half, one in midfield, or the rest of midfield. But yeah, there's been a lot of chopping and changing. And look, I don't know what that's down to, whether it's form, if it's injuries, if it's knocks that are picked up, if lads aren't 100%. But as you said, like, as a manager myself and anybody that's played football, when you the old cliche, pardon me, the cliches in football are, you're in the starting 11, you have the jersey, it's up to you to keep it. And ultimately, majority of players haven't done enough to keep their jerseys. And that's what rotation comes in. And maybe last year we didn't have the options that we have this year. And maybe that's a blessing. And of course, you know, we seem to have an awful lot more strength and depth this season, and we're rotating quite a lot. But as you said, as a player, it's very hard to build understandings and relationships and patterns and familiarity if you're constantly playing with a different player in front of you, beside you, and behind you, you know?
Yeah, I suppose just looking at comments here and questions, seem to take a bit of a hammering over Talbot, defence of Talbot. Again, I think from that angle, the second goal, I thought maybe you could have got a better hand with it, but I don't know what you think you've done so far this season.
Yeah, I've said the same. And again, it's similar to what we said about Rob Cornwall, Bucco, Colin Whelan, Moussa. The lads are coming back from a long time out and haven't played a hell of a lot of football. And effectively, if we look at those names I mentioned, that's ideally our spine of our team. From your keeper right through, your two centre-half, your midfielders and your two strikers, all haven't really kicked much of a football in the last 18 months, to no fault of their own. Barring Moussa, obviously. But I thought only for Churrasca last year, I thought we would have been in far bigger trouble than we were. I thought he was exceptional. I was actually thinking through last season we'd do very well to hold on to him. Even though he had another year, I was thinking some of his performances, his kicking, his consistency, is for someone that's so agile and athletic, he came out for crosses. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. I thought he was one of the biggest positives and pluses out of a disappointing season last season. And obviously James has got the nod. He's a brilliant fella, James. He's gone through a tough time. He's come out the other side of it, and everyone's delighted for him. But again, he's going to take time to get up to speed as well. And I think Casper could probably feel very hard done by. But ultimately, again, with the managers and Fogarty, the goalkeeper coach, they're working with the lads day in, day out, and they've made their assumption based off that. So what's, in terms of your own opinion, Jordan, on that?
I said it last week, I think Talbot at this stage is unfortunately never going to win. I think there's an element of fans, albeit smaller, are not that loud enough on the internet, where I think Talbot's always going to be the finger pointed at, regardless of what goes wrong. Should have got a probably better hand on that on Friday. Probably, yeah, but still a fucking take nothing away from the strike and the swerve of the ball from the second goal. Other than that, this season, I don't think there's been any major mistakes. I know the goal against Pats, people said he should have caught it. He could have never caught that. He was fucking taken clean out. Probably should have got a better punch and all that. But then again, it's up to your defence end to fucking, you know, picking up players and mark down.
Yeah.
So he's not being fucking exactly dug out easy as well. But yeah, anyone in and around him.
No, I'd say he'd be disappointed down in Cork as well. And I thought he was actually lucky in the first half. He came out and he seemed to catch Dyer, if you remember. He caught Dyer with a flying punch as well. And another referee could have given a penalty. And it's panic stages. But look, nobody's happier than me to see James Talbot back and back playing football and back happy and healthy. And I'm delighted for him on a personal level. I just feel that because Casper was so good last year, and I honestly thought, like, player of the year, he was brilliant. I thought he was brilliant in games. He kept us in games single-handedly. He could feel hard done by to not get a sniff this season. Now, if it was a case where we struggle for a keeper, everybody, as you said there, would be absolutely delighted to have James back and can't wait for him to come back. But I think it's just the fact that we've probably got two top number ones at the club now, and it's just coming down to personal preference. I can't imagine there's much between them in terms of quality and characteristic. Casper looked like a good leader. He loved going down with that calf injury to let us get regrouped every game and get the little rub
That seemed to have been calmed down a bit in the league. I think why this year doesn't seem to be as much.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you still see it in Europe, you see it in England, you see it a lot. But unless, I don't know, referees have and the association, they have these meetings every year, don't they, with things they're going to look out for. They pull it at the start of the season and they'll say, just letting you know, there's things we spotted last year and we're going to hone in on these and we're going to do that. Now, I haven't heard anything communicated myself, but I have noticed we haven't done it at all to regroup. But, I just think hopefully I look taunts on Friday as a Bowes fan, never mind the management team or anything at all. Like, you're thinking on Friday night, going into the goal again, the first goal is huge. They defend with their lives. You know they're going to sit in, they're going to be hard to break down, but If we could have just took one of them, a good delivery into the ball, a little bit more quality, a little bit more care in the final third, you score a goal, it opens them up, and there's potential there to hit someone for two or three. But we certainly won't win too many matches if we defend the way we are, and we don't have that quality in the final third.
Yeah, and I suppose if Reynolds does go, a few questions: who would you get in? Who's available? I said that's not really fucking. That doesn't fall on me. That falls on the footballing department of it. I suppose
Suppose.
I think Kevin Doherty would leave Drogheda in the morning to go to Wales. I think he was eager to get the job last time. He didn't approach the club. I don't think the club approached him. I think he would leave in the morning. Would I take him? And then to me, what's a bit more adventurous? Maybe it's not me thinking too much of things. Keith Long, I think we'll come back in the morning again. They go back to Long. Is that just another disaster waiting to happen?
Well, firstly, with Kevin Doherty, I was at Shelbourne a good few years ago as a player, and he was the first team coach. He was a brilliant fella, great guy, really nice guy on and off the pitch. Kevin, you won't meet a better fella. He's done an incredible job at Drogheda, incredible job at Drogheda. They've just gone full time as well. He's been backed. They've made some good signings. They've had a brilliant start. Obviously, there's chalk and cheese in terms of club size with Bohemians and Drogheda. I don't know if he would go or if he would be the right character. I think it needs to be I've always said it, the Bowles job needs a big personality that can reinvigorate the whole club and have that connection between the pitch and the stand again. Because as you said, the Bowles fans, I think, are our 12th man. Home or away, we travel in huge numbers. We stand on every terrace home and away throughout the country, and we get behind the team and we can help them get over the edge, and there needs to be that connection. I just feel since the moment Alan Reynolds was announced, there has been a clear, distinct lack of connection between the fan base. I think a lot of the fan base had him, I think, almost written off before he came in. And
I don't think he helped himself either. He never bothered his bollocks to make a connection, for a better term of really what it was. He never really looked like he wanted it. I know he said, "I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win matches." Well, you've done neither in a year.
Yeah, and it's similar to Declan Devine when he took the microphone on the pitch and said, "We're winning that fucking cup," and we didn't. You know, as if he said it, well, he's not here to make friends. He's here to win matches. You better make sure if you're not making the friends, you're winning the matches. So, and if we're not, then you live and die by your own words, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
There's one manager up the north I love. I think he'd be brilliant. Rodney McAree at Dungannon Swifts. So I don't think you've probably heard of him. He's been at Glentoran. He's been at a few clubs. But Dungannon would be a small regional club up the north, and they've just finished in the top four this season. They got into a cup final. They're in the Irish Cup final as well. I think they won the League Cup as well. But the style of play they play is, there's no disputing an identity or kind of how they do things, and they've been exceptional against nearly everybody up there. I think he's a brilliant manager. I think he'd jump at the chance as well. But
you think that maybe the line manager Tiernan Lynch has probably maybe studied a little bit so far? The any chance of that happening?
I don't know. Like, I spoke to people up there. I was up in Larne a few weeks ago, and I was talking to people, and Tiernan's a great fella as well. He's a very good manager, but Derry has been very unforgiving to any manager that isn't not a hometown boy, really. You know, they don't get much
Roddy,
time.
Kenny,
Pat Fenlon, even, you know, they don't think managers that have pretty much done very well and been successful anyway haven't been given that much time to turn things around. So, also, he's been backed quite substantially in the transfer market. They brought in a number of players. Older players and on that plastic pitch, I don't know how that's going to work. That would have been my concern. Tiernan, yeah, he's done very, very well at Larne. He built them up from the ground and done a phenomenal job. But I just think that if hypothetically, if you're getting rid of Reynolds, I think it needs to be a huge character.
Joey O'Brien, maybe. Do you think he'd leave the chance to jump at the Bowles gig?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest. I don't know, is the honest answer. He seems to be a very, very good coach. And again, like we're saying about Alan Reynolds, and he seems like a quiet man by nature and probably not the biggest of personalities if you don't know him, I'd imagine. Which is why, as you said, there's a bit of a lack of connection. You see a personality like Damien Duff, the impact he's had on Shelbourne and the league as a whole, you know. nobody can deny it, as much as it might irritate Bowles fans and myself, yeah. But you can't deny the job he's done in reinvigorating the entire club. Never mind the team and obviously the success they had last year. So I don't know. I just think it would need to be a big character, big character that can come in and just.
Is that where you sort of maybe look to? It's who we can actually get in terms of, you know, outside the box. I know people are talking about, you know, can you layer in a former Irish international, maybe not Robbie Keane, but his fallout to some board members, but in terms of like John O'Shea, I know he's number two at Ireland. Some say he's basically the number one at Ireland in terms of picking squad and stuff like that. But I mean, like, I know someone mentioned Glenn Whelan said he would be open to previously managing the League of Ireland. You know, with Duff there, that brings that extra bit of thing. I don't think the league's been at a higher place in terms of, you know, where it's at. And I don't think this is a case where you put the job out, they'll come to you. I think the club, if the Reynolds does go, is going to have to go knocking on sort of relatively no-name doors and saying, here, what's your thought of trailer?
Yeah, and that's what goes back to what we were talking about earlier, about if you have a short list of who you want to approach, because we're a massive club, whether people agree with it or not. It's a huge club, a huge expectancy, huge fan base, huge future plans. So you need a manager that's going to be able to come with that. And hopefully, look, as you said, we can turn it around and get a result on Friday and try and build on it. But, it's very hard to kind of see outside of it, you know, at the moment. There's not a huge amount. You're always taking a risk when you bring in player or management or coach and staff from outside of the league, because it is a unique league. You can see that even with players that come in that people may know from other leagues, and they come in and they struggle. They don't settle. They find it hard. It takes a while to adapt, and we're seeing that firsthand with some signings and some players, not just Bohemians, but other clubs in the league. So ideally, I always try and like to have a manager that would know the league, have a good understanding of the players, the opposition, a familiarity a bit. But as you said, like, it's just hard, Jordan, at the moment. It really is hard to see where we go from here.
Yeah. And I suppose I'll just tip away here at the last managerial sort of trail of thought, Keith Long. Is there unfinished business at Bohemian FC?
I loved Keith Long, obviously, at the club in his previous tenure. We all did. We all had a special kind of affinity, and those European COVID-based nights in the Aviva and Pauk, and it was amazing. But I don't think he would come back, and I don't think it would be the right move for us. That's just my honest opinion.
I'm probably on that.
I don't think he left.
A lot of people think that he'd unite the fans, but I think it's a really short term. I don't think it would take much for it to go sour quickly.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing about his previous and his history, and I don't think it was a great way that he left the club, and he deserved a bit more time to turn around with all he had done. And it was quite a quick reaction out the door, in fairness for him, and I'm sure he would feel hard done by that, and that all the work he had done
seven or eight years
at the club. I think he had built up enough credit in the bank to be given time to turn it around, and maybe he feels that way, and he didn't. So it's really, I should have come on the podcast after we won a game. might have been easier to talk about, but I think that the long and short of it is we're not defending well enough, and we're not taking any chances or creating any chances. And it's just been, I think, individual errors and the lack of quality in the final third. And that leads then to confidence, lack of confidence, nervousness, fan unrest, which is all completely justified, you know. But it's just quite a toxic place, as you know, and at the moment. And it seems to be fractures all over the place. And the only way that comes and gets turned around is by winning games and winning football matches.
You can see just here, just looking, flicking through comments and questions. Reynolds getting, or sorry, not Reynolds, but him, obviously, but Pat Fennin getting a bit of stick here. We have been talking to people, I'd say, well, high up in the club in terms of, you know, what goes on. I suppose he probably doesn't get the credit he's doing in the background of what goes on. I think he might have been the brain behind the Aviva decision. I could be wrong, but I'm almost certain he was the idea behind it. And he does a lot of work. But ultimately, I think director of football and the manager is going to get judged by what happens on the pitch. I think you have a couple of dealings yourself with Fennon. What sort of job do you think he's doing?
Look, I don't like. I'm not going to speak on behalf of Pat or anything like it. And I've only had a couple of dealings with him. As obviously, we took Devine as a mallet on loan to part it down. And I dealt with Pat with that. But what he do when I was in his day-to-day role, like he's in there to from grassroots up to make sure the club is running smoothly and as sustainable as possible, and ensuring that our future's set up and we're in the best place possible, on and off the pitch, I suppose. As you said to you, like it's just with what's happening at the moment. We touched on it earlier. Like when Keith Long left, Alan Reynolds was the first choice at target, and most people wanted him. He did an unbelievable job as a coach and a number two everywhere he'd been. So I don't think it was the wrong appointment. Things don't work for whatever reason. That's completely natural and normal, and not just in football, in life, things, you know, mightn't work out how you plan it. But yeah, I think Pat Fennon is probably in a position where, like we touched on with James Talbot, he can't do right from wrong. The season before, it was the Eastern European signings and Piszczek and Sten Reinkaart and Lalanders of the world, and that was all Pat Fennon's fault. And this summer, we've had our probably, as people have said, had our best window for years and our best summer for years, and have one of our strongest squads for years, which Pat would obviously have a big say in, along with the board and along with the management team. But still, somehow, he's to blame for us not defending well and taking chances on a Friday night, you know.
Yeah, and then there's a couple of questions. Ari, should the board step down and stuff like that? I don't think a lot of people, maybe they do understand, but the board is made up of, I think, about 10 positions. Ultimately, two of those positions were challenged last year. I think the president position, I don't think, is actually two people have ran for it. For as long as I can remember, it's always been either someone has had to take it or someone has just taken it. So, you know, people want heads on plates in terms of board level, but ultimately, we are a volunteer run club. And if there's nobody willing to take those positions, so like these people do with day-to-day jobs, everything they do is for
Absolutely,
free. And well, I understand people might be happy. And look, when you go for the board, this is the slack you take. They know that more than anyone. But you know, it is a volunteer run position. And ultimately, there's no one else that really wants to be on it. And anyone that wasn't, it was sort of voted down. So I'm not sure where we go from that.
it's like getting Jordan, it's like when things aren't going right, people start trying to lift the lid and start to look under the bonnet and look for anyone and anything to blame. And like, you see, Daniel Lambert gets absolutely hammered on a daily basis from Bowers fans, and the club isn't focusing on football, it's not doing this. The money we've generated off the jerseys we get slagged about is phenomenal, and the club probably doesn't run without it. And it's like you said there, like these volunteers to give up their time, and there's nobody working at Bohemians Football Club at this moment, voluntary or in the manager team or in the playing players, that wants Bohemians to fail. There's nobody that's there that wants them to fail. There's no one there that's happy with what's going on at the moment. And it's about where you go from here. And the most important, I always say it, you need to stick together through good times and bad. You have to stick together. Like we're looking at things like you look at the acquisition of the Oscar Traynor Development Centre, and that's going to be in the next couple of years home of one of the probably the best academy in the country, and that's going to breed future generations of hopefully talented Irish footballers and Bohemians players and players that are going to go on and represent their country. So it's a much larger operation than just what's happening on a Friday night that these people are doing on a day-to-day basis. But ultimately, we're a football club first and foremost, and we need to be getting results. It's a results business, as we keep saying, and unfortunately the results aren't good enough. And there's not one board member and one director, one management, one part of the management team, or one of the players that will tell you otherwise. They know that it's just where they go from here or how you fix it. you know, if a new manager comes in, there's no window until July, so he's using the same players anyway. And
Yeah.
you're just, you know,
That's
so.
again, a lot of them players aren't on end of season contracts. They're all on multi-year.
Exactly. And then you have the same thing again where you're going back to Pat Fennin and a new manager comes in, he's saying, look, I want him, and him gone. And then you're just constantly rinse and repeating.
Yeah.
And we know Rome wasn't built in a day, but I can't keep saying it. And hopefully, you know, it's a results business. And for a club at the size of Bohemians with the squad we have, it's not been a good enough start. Now, look, there's still loads of time. There's a lot of football to be played. Let's not kid ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
If we're going off performances Friday, I thought we were really good. Really good. I have to be honest. I do think we were really good. Just lacking that bit of quality in the final third. I have to keep saying that. And then defensively, just hesitations killed us on both goals to stop the cross in the box. And then obviously for the long ball, Rob Cornwall, you know, you keep saying it, I told since a child, don't let the ball bounce defensively, but just deal with it. He doesn't deal with it, and it's a wonder striking. Galway had on Friday 8 crosses, 6 shots, 3 on target, compared to our 31 shots and 4 on target. So,
yeah,
you know, it would be different, Jordan, if we were getting battered every week and you're coming off and you're going, we couldn't put 2 passes together. We didn't get 1 ball in the box. We didn't have 1 shot in the goal. Where do we go? It's just fine margins at this level.
Yeah. And then I'll just wrap up on the fan questions. Everyone sort of, there's been about, there's only about 70 to 100 comments across the board. A lot of them are just sort of asked in different directions. And now you did only put that up this afternoon, so they won't get to them all. I'm going to be specific. But Greg Malloy has asked, have you put requesting with the club to get Reynolds on the pod? Genuine question, by the way. It might be worthwhile and buy himself a few more weeks. Look, when this podcast was originally started, it probably was a bit more bedlam, mayhem, chaos. And, you know, a bit more loose, and if I want a better word. We did.
We could blame your former co-partner on that, I'd say.
Yes, he could definitely take a main stay of that. Bar during his podcasting years, bar from the club. But we did tend that out of the club. Could we get a player on every few weeks to break down a game? Obviously, you'd probably do it towards winning games. Do we think it would be beneficial at this present time getting maybe a Pat Fennin on to talk about it? I don't think Reynolds will do it. But I think in general, the club and the league are a lot more sheltered media-wise. You don't get that. I'd be highly surprised if they'd hand over anyone employed in the club. I know that they have been a bit, even when we had sort of the likes of Mono on, they were always a bit sort of conscious of what might be said. I know the podcast, I think, has probably mellowed out since it's been solo. It's been fairly cleanish language aside. Would it be open to a yes? I probably wouldn't go to the club because I genuinely don't think they would give it a spearhead. But again, I'd be open. I would love to have, you know, chat with Fennin. I'll be a complete idiot when it comes to knowing what it is about football, or, you know, just sort of, you know, give them their sort of viewpoint on balls at the moment. And it's a bit more maybe a bit more of an intimate conversation, better than anything else.
Yeah, look, I don't think you see any other club doing it, you know, having managers on.
Thing, yeah.
And, you know, these are working, I'm sure they're working very hard to try and put things right themselves, and they're flat out busy. And look, no matter if we're winning games, fans, there's going to be an element of fans that aren't happy. And I don't think even ourselves, like, you know, when we're talking about breaking down games and goals and tactics and analytics and all this, that, and the other, I hate all that stuff, like the stats and the XG you see and all this shite that they spout about now. Like, ultimately, it's about performances. It's about desire, the will to win, and
just
getting over the line. Yeah, exactly. And it's so cliche. And he brought me on saying, geez, he might have a better insight into it. But ultimately, you know, you've seen a real hunger and drive and a desire from Galway on Friday to get the job done. They all knew what the job was. They defended with their lives and they hit us on the counter. And sucker punch with long balls, which is what they've done for years. So I just really hope Friday be a big game. Sligo are missing a couple of bodies.
I believe, forced him.
Yeah, I think the Kavanagh, Jake Doyle Hayes are both red carded. And then I think they have a couple other injuries. Or yellows maybe and suspension. So they'll be there to be got at. And I really, really, really hope we can get the job done.
Yeah, I suppose we'll move on to Friday then and we'll talk about the game. It's hard to find anything. I know. I think, like I said last week, you know, when Bowes are looking for, when Bowes have you at your lowest and you don't think we'll ever win a match again, a funny way of surprising you. I was kind of had that in the back of my head going into Friday. Of course, it didn't come to fruition. But Sligo Friday, I don't see how anything more than a win can, or anything less than a win, will keep him in a job. I mean, he has to win, or else I don't know how it can go on much longer, how toxic it's going to be. Again, the win probably buys him a week or two, buys Fennell on the board a week or two to maybe put in some contingency plans. What do you think it's going to go on Friday?
Yeah, as you said, like, I'm sorry if I jump in the gun there, like, you know, Sligo are missing four key players. I don't know what kind of shape our squad's in and who's available, who's not. And obviously, with certain lads like Keith Buckley and Rob Cornwall and the lads we mentioned, probably have to manage them for the first 10 or 15 games to let them get back and get their bodies attuned and acclimatized to playing more regularly. But look, you'll be seeing in this league loads of times. Like, we're second bottom at the moment, 6 points. We're only 7 points off the top. You know, a couple of wins and a run of form together, and everything changes. Everything changes. So, I think it's imperative. I think we shells after Sligo, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
So, you know, you want to get a good performance on Friday, maybe. We absolutely need 3 points. You're dead right, and then hopefully that builds a bit of confidence and a bit of momentum going into the Talca Park. But yeah, we absolutely need we need 3 points on Friday night. Now, the one thing probably we haven't been scoring enough goals. Sligo have conceded the most in the league so far. I think 15 they've conceded in 7 games. We've only scored 5 and 7. So, you know, it is a good opportunity if we can be at it and from minute one and everybody's on the same page and start with a real energy and a real enthusiasm. Hopefully we can get a good statement win.
Yeah, I suppose. I personally think it's going to be 1-1, which is like to call a result, isn't it?
I think 3-1 balls.
3-1 balls.
I think so. I think so. But you're trying to goal score us.
You try to get a few. Well, you're known as goals down, and so pluck out a few there.
Yeah, well, I think Rossi's due with performance. I think he's been quiet in the last couple of games, and to be honest with you, I don't really care. I really don't care how we do it on Friday, as long as we do it. I think, like, it's mad. We were talking earlier, and you look at the Waterford game. We won that game 3-0. I don't think we were anywhere near as good as we were on Friday night. We were beaten 2-0. As you said, the game in Cork, we were brilliant in the first half, and probably deserved to come away from there with something, and didn't. So it's just about, as you said and touched on earlier, it's about just grinding out performance, grinding out wins, and grinding out results, by all means necessary. And with Sligo significantly weakened, they'll still be obviously a decent side. John Russell's done a great job there. They'll be very well organised. They'll be hard to break down. But ultimately, if we can get ideally an early goal, get the crowd and the fans behind us, get everyone behind the players, and get a good buzz back into Dalian, and a bit of positivity leaving there. Hopefully, a quarter to ten on Friday night.
Yeah, so look, Mario, thank you very much for your time. You've been a great addition to the podcast.
Anytime.
Nice, anytime, and best of luck this season with Montpellier and, of course, with Portadown. As we do every week, come on the fucking balls.
Come on, boss.
'Cause we all follow balls wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the boys, and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around. And